Blog Talk Radio.
Get that cut down a little bit.
We'll fade that out next time. But welcome,
yeah, exactly.
Welcome to War by Women, week two.
Week two, and we're still pissed off.
Yeah. That's a good place to be sometimes. So this
exactly.
is Chrissy Waters.
And this is Kimberly Morin. And, no, somebody asked if there's a chat room, and I'm not seeing a chat room. I don't know if it's an issue or something wasn't done or if it's an issue tonight. So if you're not seeing one, it's because we aren't either.
Exactly. We'll try and
Sorry
get that,
that
fixed, at least for next week, because we like to have a chat room.
Yeah,
we like
chat room
to see
fun.
What's being said about us, you know.
See if any spies come in the room, maybe they'll learn something. Scare them off right away.
Well, there's lots of time to scare people off, so let's get started.
Exactly. You want to start with, we have a lot of topics to cover tonight. It's crazy because everything, we find things all over the place and all over different topics, but all that are ridiculous usually, and of course are either something stupid done by women on the left that hurt women or, in general, against women. So I know we wanted to talk about first, though, Lauren Bacall. So why don't you start, Chrissy?
Yes, I felt like it. I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't mention Lauren Bacall because she's one of my favorite actresses. And you just don't see women like that anymore. She's literally a dying breed. And, you know, I mean, the first movie that she and Humphrey Bogart did together was when they fell in love. So when you're watching them act, you're actually watching real life at the same time. To Have and Have Not would be that movie. But I always thought that she was kind of like, you know, the the sex symbol that that women wanted to be, you know. If you want to turn on a man, watch a Lauren Bacall movie. She's just a play of pointers. So, yeah, we lost a great lady, and she was liberal in her politics, but she came from a time when politics didn't infect every aspect of life. She was smart
right.
enough to be able to separate her politics from her profession, because alienating half of your audience is not a good business move. So
right, and not only that, but the other thing I appreciated about her was her, at least her characters, she always came off as a strong and independent woman.
Absolutely.
You know, and that was one thing that was I thought was really great about her as an actress as well.
Exactly. And, you know, just that whole era of women in general from that time period, they were so lusciously sexy but still had such class. And that's something that you don't find. You know, while you have Miley Cyrus up there on stage,
oh.
you know, leaving nothing to the imagination. And it just goes to show what a shift in the culture there's been for the worse. So,
you know, I was thinking about that today, too. Like, you know, she was a kind of a good role model, but what a young women, who are role models for young women today, honestly?
Exactly.
Lady Gaga?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if anybody would like to call in over the course of the show and give their thoughts about that, or, you know, if you'd like to maybe pay tribute to a woman that has influenced you, whether she's famous or not. So we'd love to hear from you. But I just
wanted to...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, is my grandmother, who was born in 1902, totally, I mean, she was, you know, in the suffragette era and everything. She totally did the opposite of what most women did at that age, at that time. She didn't get married until she was 26.
That's like my grandmother,
and,
too.
Really? Oh, see?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't get married until she was 26, and then, of course, then she had 7 kids, but she always... You know, she, up until then, obviously she was having a good time.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah, my grandmother on my dad's side, she didn't want to get married. She wanted to go out and do her own thing. And it wasn't until the right man came along and said, "We're going to get married." He didn't ask her. He told her. She said, "Okay." And she was 27 when she got married. And, but yeah, she was able to, she waited tables back in the 30s, and she lived in Southern California, waited tables, and a lot of the old movie stars would come through and stop at that diner on their way to Palm Springs, and she said that Jimmy Cagney used to sit in her section because she was his favorite waitress. So,
oh, my God, that's so cool.
Yeah, so, and then my other grandmother on my mom's side, she's still alive. She'll be 93 next month. So God bless
her.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm thankful that I have a lot of good role models in my life to blaze the trail, and, you know, I hope that I'm worthy. That's all I can say.
Oh, I'd say you are. I think, you know what, I think that maybe does make a difference in women's lives if they have strong role models, you know,
absolutely,
ahead of them, about whether it's their mother, aunts, grandmothers. That probably
right.
does make a huge difference.
And strong male role models as well. I mean, having a father in the picture is huge, huge.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. But I really think that depending on how you were raised, I mean, I guarantee you were raised the same as me. You work hard, you treat people with respect. You know, all the
right.
normal kind of, I mean, to us, it's probably normal how you work and live your life.
Exactly. I was raised to respect work. I was raised to respect God and family. all the, you know, the bedrocks of a rock solid life, and I'm thankful considering how many, you know, people have completely lost their way out there. So
yeah, exactly. It's a completely different time now, and what's sad is the people that weren't raised like we are, especially women, are fomenting that in their children. So it's just future generations are just getting worse and worse as opposed to getting better.
Well, you know, people don't discipline their kids. My dad took his belt off quite a few times. You know, I learned from a young age not to give my parents any lip, because that was one. My dad was fair. He usually would give me a warning: if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. And he was very consistent, so I had no one but myself to blame. But if we gave him or my mom any lip, that didn't get a warning at all. That was an immediate.
Oh my God! You said that's what they called it at my house too. Don't give me any lip.
That's right. So
see, I grew up. My father called me mouth. Because I was a troublemaker probably since I was born. And it's funny, years later, you know, when I showed him all the political stuff I was doing, whatever, he's like, wow, he's like, it kind of paid off when you to practice when you were younger.
That's right.
See, Dad, it was for a reason.
So, yeah, but now you find parents that they're completely oblivious. And then they don't spend time with them. You know, they find them to be a bother. You know, sit them in front of the TV or give them an iPad to entertain themselves.
Yep.
There's no interaction,
yeah,
and it shows.
I know people whose kids are using iPads like at 2.
Exactly.
Here you go. Shut up, kid.
Yeah,
now you got to do this or that.
Yeah, it's a babysitter, basically.
And you know, I get sometimes it's good because there might be some learning games or something, but to do that all the time as a babysitter, yeah, I'm just not down with that. I didn't even let my son have a Game Boy until he was 13. And that was a big popular game, you know, sort of to have him like, no, she's not going to sit around playing games all the time.
That's right.
I was a mean mama.
You're a smart mama.
Well, of course, mine was the only one out of all his Cub Scout troop and whatever that became an Eagle Scout.
Excellent.
So.
Excellent. So you did something right.
Yeah, and I don't have any grandbabies yet, so that's a good thing.
Well.
That would not be good. And you know what? And that brings up what we're talking about, the nature versus nurture.
Right.
I know kids the same age as months within my son, and they were brought up differently. And, you know, the kids definitely took different paths in life.
Right.
You know, one of them ended up at 20 having his first kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, now we have two. I mean, they're beautiful kids. He's still with the baby's mother. They're not married, of course, but... The point is, you brought up differently. I think it really does make a difference, and that's why parenting is so important.
That's right, and that's why I fear for the future for kids who haven't been parented when they grow up. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, but that's why we need to try and turn the whole thing around.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I don't know if it's possible and it's going to take a long time, but I think it can be done. And, you know, speaking of parents, you showed me this story today about the Yazidis, whose women and girls have been kidnapped. Can you imagine how those parents are feeling not knowing what's happening with the children and the girls?
No, I can't imagine, and I'm not even a parent. But what really astounds me is that Dianne Feinstein today tweeted that contraception is a basic form of health care. It contributes to improved health outcomes for women and babies. #FixHobbyLobby. And I'm thinking, Are you serious, lady? I mean, Dianne Franken-Feinstein is talking about Hobby Lobby when we've got women on the other side of the world who are being raped and sold into slavery and watching their babies have their heads chopped off.
Yeah, because not getting free birth control is really a war on women.
Exactly. Gee, that $9 birth control that I'm not able to get, that's just such slavery. You know,
yeah,
these
exactly.
They see all
to the man if I can't get my free birth control.
Yeah. So it's staggering how out of touch these people really are.
Well, we've talked about this before, other people, you know, those code pinko commies always were loud and aggressive about, you know, they were against George Bush and they were for Hamas, even though Hamas uses women and children as shields. Where are they now? Slam pigs haven't been around in a long time.
Exactly. Hey, code pinko, we're talking to you.
I mean, they haven't, where are they screaming and yelling about what's going on in Iraq right now? These people are suffering and being tortured. Their women and children are being enslaved. And no one's saying anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what is it, 20,000 people are trapped?
Right. Well, that doesn't matter, because the only thing that matters is a woman's plumbing and her reproductive choices in this country to these people.
Yep, exactly.
Everything else, they're tone deaf to everything else.
No, they always bring up birth control and all that crap every election cycle because, you know, there are some women who clearly fall for it, but they never seem to bring up this true war on women in the Middle East. Ever. And, you know, they don't even bring it up when it happens here and there's an honor killing. They don't even mention that.
Well, exactly, because there's like a protocol, you know. You're not allowed to be anti-Muslim. And if you say something against an honor killing, then you're anti-Muslim. And that's like that comes before being a woman, I guess. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. What the pecking order is.
You know, I think you might be right on that. That might be exactly what it is. That has a higher priority on their list of what not to talk about.
Exactly. So,
yeah, you know, I hadn't thought of it that way. I just knew that they never talk about that. And maybe, maybe one of the reasons is because if they actually talk about this and talk about honor killings and talk about how women are treated so poorly in the Middle East and talk about these women and children and young girls who are being kidnapped, raped, and killed, maybe that would make them look like the complete suffering idiots they are.
Exactly.
Or should I say insufferable idiots? They're complaining about birth control that they can walk down the street and buy.
Yeah, for cheap.
Yeah. Better yet, get your voice.
Exactly. I mean, he's more responsible for your birth control than any, you know, than a taxpayer, than I am.
That's for damn sure.
I think I should probably create a new Twitter account called Uncle Sam Biatch. Put like maybe Sandra Flukes or however you say her name, her picture or any of these harpies. That might be fun.
We could change the picture all the time because it's, you know, they're interchangeable.
That's right. Uncle Sam.
You know, it's not like they don't stray far from the plantation.
No, they really don't. But
you know.
But they'll say that we're the ones on the plantation. They're the ones who are truly free, but we're the ones, you know, who have betrayed them. We're the ones that betrayed the women. Conservative blacks have betrayed the blacks, you know. because you're not allowed to think for yourself.
But that's exactly what they say. If God forbid you don't fall in line with their collective thought control over being dependent and useless.
Exactly. And I don't understand why there are so many people who find that way of life attractive, being dependent and useless. I mean, how long can you lay on the couch and do nothing before you just get bored?
You know what?
You know?
That's one part of it, Christy, but there's the other part where women think they're entitled.
Exactly.
And it's like, no, you're not entitled to free birth control. That's, you know, that's not a right anywhere. I'm surprised they haven't tried to change the Constitution to make it a right.
Well, that's probably coming eventually. You will probably see people propose that we do that. There's all this talk about having another constitutional convention and all this. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but if it ever does, you know that there's going to be people on the liberal side that say, oh, I think we need to guarantee a right to free housing and food.
Well, I just saw something recently that they're trying to resurrect the ERA again. That was the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, no, you idiots. What they basically, we're already equal. All of us are already equal under the Constitution. The problem is they want special rights. So what
exactly.
They're saying is if we had the ERA, then we would be able to demand birth control and no one could deny it to us because we're women and it would be under the Constitution. Oh, my God, are you serious?
Right. Exactly.
They don't seem to get a grasp of what the Bill of Rights are.
Well, I mean, it comes down to what can I get, you know, how can I game the system to enrich myself?
Exactly.
Everybody is so narcissistic and selfish now that they don't care about this country being a free country if it means that they can, you know, get their goodies.
I think, do we have a caller on the line?
Hello?
Oh, hello?
Hello?
Caller, are you there?
Maybe we have a stalker. it's a liberal troll that's hacked into our show.
Well, they're from the Massachusetts area, so you never know.
Yeah,
because I get the area I get the area code. So,
so speak now, or we might start telling jokes at your expense.
And we can do that. Oh, we might have lost him.
Oh, he got it. That's he was afraid.
Yeah, I know all the Massachusetts area code, so.
Maybe Obama's calling in from his fundraiser tonight.
Oh, my God. Maybe he's calling in from Martha's Vineyard.
Yes. Hello, Mr. President. I can't tell you how much I dislike you, but...
You know what, Mr. President, your wife is always... Whoops, are you there now?
Hello?
Okay, maybe they don't want to talk. Maybe it is Mr. President. So we'll just keep talking to Obama. How's that?
Yes, that's fine with me. Or put Biden on the phone. He's at least entertaining.
Yeah.
Or put Hillary
exactly.
on the phone so I could really tell her what I think.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, at least we're a little bit safe. He's in Martha's Vineyard as opposed to the White House. I don't think he brings his pen and phone with him when he's at the vineyard.
Yeah, only the podium and a jacket so he can look presidential.
Yeah, and the teleprompter, don't forget that.
Absolutely. That's he's more tied to that than he is to Michelle.
I wonder if he uses that when he's with Michelle.
Feed him some good lines.
Oh my God. What was it, last week or a week before? The van holding his teleprompter was just stolen.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot him. I almost died when I read that. I was like, no, that's just too funny to be true.
That's right. I wonder if they ever, I'm assuming they found it, but I never heard if they found it.
I think they found it, and it was, you know, nothing was taken or whatever. Whoever stole it probably, number one, did it as a joke, or number two, didn't realize what they were taking.
That's right. Doesn't give you much confidence and security, though, that's for sure.
Oh, it sure does. Speaking of security, yesterday, a federal judge ruled that AR-15s are, quote, dangerous and unusual and not protected by the Second Amendment. And this is a woman judge.
Yeah.
And this is in Maryland. And she actually called them assault weapons. And AR-50, there's no such thing as an assault rifle. They are Armalite rifles. That was the name of the company that first built them in, I believe, the 50s. Mm-hmm. And so that tells you right there that she's, number one, an activist, number two, ignorant, and number three, should not be a sitting judge.
Exactly. But, you know,
she clearly doesn't understand the freaking Second Amendment.
Well, we have these judges all over the country, and that's another reason why the elections are so important. It's not just about Congress and the Senate and the presidency. It's about these judgeships, too, because they create policy from the bench, and in some ways they have more power than the Congress and the Senate.
No, I agree. It's all of the judges that are appointed are supposed to be upholding the Constitution. I'm pretty sure they all take an oath to do that.
Right.
If they can't even understand the Constitution and Bill of Rights, I don't get it. I don't get how they can even become a judge.
Well, it's because they do understand the Constitution. They choose not to abide by it, just like our president and several in our Congress and our Senate. These people are supposed to represent us.
That's true. Even on the local level, they take oaths, and I'm sure they do in your state, too. They take oaths to uphold not only the U.S. Constitution, but your local state constitution, and they don't.
Exactly. They think of the Constitution as a list of suggestions that they can choose or not choose to abide by.
The chat room, for anyone who's listening, the chat room is now open. Just close out of the session you're in and then just reopen it and it's open.
Excellent.
And it doesn't matter. I think too many people don't even know what's in the Bill of Rights or Constitution or their state, of course, Constitution, Bill of Rights, to even know that these things are being broken.
Exactly. And we have an education system that doesn't want people to know.
Uh-uh.
It's set up that people remain ignorant.
Yeah, and they propagate mistruths, outright lies, exaggerations that aren't true. I've seen some of the books that they teach by Howard Zinn, and that guy was a left-wing activist, and that's what they're teaching kids it for history? I've read some of the history that I bought one of his books just so I could know, even though I have no kids in school. I wanted to know what they were being taught, And I couldn't believe that he glosses over good things, focuses on bad things, outright says things that aren't true. And this is what they're teaching in school, in public school.
Yeah.
Unless someone has a good teacher, that's what they're doing.
Well, they have to make sure that the children are raised to just be mediocre citizens, just smart enough to hold a regular tax-paying job, and nothing exceptional, because otherwise they can't be controlled, and that's the goal.
Well, that's just like with Common Core. It's, you know, worker bees, create some little workforce. So the rich kids will all be, you know, go to private schools, and they'll get good educations, and they'll go on to, you know, run the things. But, you know, the kids who can't afford private school, they can just be a little workforce.
Right. So when you have these people that are, the Democrats especially do it, talk about how the middle class is shrinking. Well, whose fault is that? That's their
whole
goal.
Yeah, you're shrinking it. Yeah.
They want the upper class and the lower class, and they don't want a middle class because that even threatens them.
No, because it's typical with any kind of left-wing ideology, they want the haves and have-nots.
Exactly. They want the upper class for themselves, and they want the lower class to do for them, to generate taxes.
And they can control them. Exactly like you said, they can control them that way.
Yeah. So the system has been set up that way. And that's why busting through the education system is another task that we need to accomplish, and it's going to take a long time because it's been set up this way for a long time. But that's really the only way we're going to save the country is to reach the next generation.
And we're not going to if they keep putting Common Core in everywhere.
That's right. So get your kids out of public school.
Yeah, you can homeschool. The thing is, though, even with Common Core, eventually, everyone's going to have to pass these stupid tests that they created.
Right.
Even the SATs are going to be written to Common Core. Because the guy who was one of the heads of Common Core, David Coleman, who was horrible and was never an educator, is now on the college board.
Right.
I don't know if we talked about that last week. I talked about politics so much I forget. But he's the one who dumbed down the SAT already. So it's not, you don't have to do as good to get a, you know, that he dumbed down, made the scores lower or something. I forget what he did.
Right.
But it's the same people that are running all these things and in charge and doing all these things. And it's because they believe they're going to be the have, and they just want to create all a bunch of little have-nots.
That's right. We're all here just to work for them. The underlings.
Yeah, I mean it's not good. That's why in those kind of societies it's not good to have a middle class because the middle class aren't dependent on the government typically. They think for themselves and they don't like their freedoms being taken away, so they fight against it. When you have that, you don't have the control like these people want. You know they want. You know they. How many millions of dependents have they created on government? 47 million on food stamps, 53 million on disability. I don't know how many. There's a huge percentage more on welfare now. I mean, I think I want to say 47% of the country or more now gets some form of welfare help, whether it's Section 8 or food or something. They get some kind of help, and that's dependent on the government.
That's right. This dependency is just as much a drug, like we talked about. Dependency on government programs is just as much a drug as dependency on crack or heroin. There's no difference.
Right, exactly.
And once they get you hooked, then they sell you on, you know, it's not compassionate to take away these people's programs. Well, then why don't we just fund drug use with taxpayer money? Like, why don't we pay for people to have heroin? Because that's just compassionate. Why don't we pay for some you know, somebody who's morbidly obese to continue to stuff their face, which we probably do anyway. But, you know, I think that the EBT should be allowed to be taken at Krispy Kreme donut shops and, you know, just wear whatever gives you pleasure.
Come on.
Candy Crowley would agree. She likes donuts.
I think she'd be in the sweet department. Okay, now we're being catty. I can't stand that woman. She's awful. She's awful. You know, I have to, I'm moderating a debate next week. And the first thing I said, it's a Republican debate, and I'm, you know, it's not in my district or whatever, and I'm moderating it. And the first thing I said to the couple of the candidates is, don't worry, I'm not going to be Candy Crowley. Because everybody knows.
I can see that I'm being called a girther in the chat room, so. But you know what? If the shoe fits.
You know what?
The
thing is, she's just such a nasty woman. It's hard not to. If she was this really nice, great woman who was whatever, you wouldn't even think to say those things. But because she's such. Oh my God, my husband's sneezing. I don't know if you can hear that. he's really loud when he sneezes. Should I say bless you? I'm being rude. Bless you, honey. because, you know, like Michael Moore. If Michael Moore wasn't such a scumbag, filthy, dirty piece of
puke.
Yeah, thank you. Better than a swear word. Nobody would say anything about his weight. I mean, some people might, but in general, that's not how you look at someone. You know what I mean? But if someone is just an ugly person inside and they exude that on the outside, you can't help but saying things about them in those other ways just because you cannot stand them.
Well, part of the thing with Michael Moore is he's all about the anti-capitalism thing, the haves and the have-nots. But, you know, when somebody's morbidly obese and they're talking to me about have and have-not, well, you know, you look like you've been putting stuff down your pie hole. So, which side are you on?
Have a little less there, buddy.
Exactly. You're not eating noodle ramen, buddy. He's going to the super buffet.
And he's probably bitching about it, too, having to pay for it.
Exactly. From one of his, 11 houses or 8 or whatever it is.
Oh, my God. Oh, there was another one I saw today. Oh, no, it was a tweet. Speaking of which, it was a tweet because I've been trolling Femme2, which is a left-wing, which is another left-wing liberal feminazi hashtag, and somebody was complaining about tips. Tips aren't fair. More women work jobs that earn tips, so they should be paid more. So I tweeted this person back, and I'm like, why don't you just get off your lazy ass and get a better job? Hello?
Right.
I've worked in that industry. I've worked in, as a waitress. I've been a bartender, banquet waitress. We made good money. If you're a good waitress, you're making some good cash. You're making more cash than someone who's working at Walmart or someone who's working at, you know, a minimum wage job. You're $2 an hour or whatever you get. That's like nothing. That pays for your taxes for your tip. You just, if you even get a paycheck, it just goes in the bank, whatever. It's your tips that where you're making, raking in the cash.
Exactly.
But
you know, it comes back to the whole entitlement mentality. People want to be paid for doing as little work as possible. You know, if I have to break a sweat when I'm working, then that's just, I'm being disenfranchised. So,
exactly, and they think that, so they made a choice to be a server, knowing they're going to get $2-something an hour plus tips, so somehow that's our fault, and the government should mandate they be paid more than that an hour for I don't even get why. Just because they don't seem to make enough money, and it's just not fair somehow, and they're entitled to get more money, even though they chose that role and that job.
And then what happens when the owner of the restaurant has to raise all of his prices to cover all that? I saw a story the other day from Washington where they just raised the minimum wage. Some guy, he was a restaurant owner, and he had on the receipts, there was a 35% minimum wage fee being added to all the tabs. And people were getting mad about it. Well, if you can't afford
that.
To pay your staff.
35 cents.
Yeah, 35 cents per tab.
And they were, you're right, people were they were getting really pissed about it. They're like, what are you, cheap? Oh, it was a business. They posted it on Facebook. I remember because I made a few comments myself. They were mad because he was posting it. Well, I'm sorry, he has to raise his prices. So I think I agree with them. People should know. And if I lived in Seattle, I would definitely go to that restaurant just to show my support.
Exactly. I mean, because either way, even at least he's honest enough to list it on there. Because you know he's going to add it whether he lists it or not. So
right, and if he just raised his prices, then the same exact people who are complaining about him putting on Y would be complaining, oh, my God, you raised your prices. What the hell? You know?
Yeah.
They're the same exact people that would be complaining. So, you know, I think people do need to know the truth about what they're paying for. I personally think all gas stations should split out what the state tax is and what the federal tax is that we're paying for every gallon of gas on every single pump.
I agree with that. But you know that the government won't allow that to happen because they don't want an insurrection.
You know, I think that's what it is because otherwise why wouldn't they have that on there just to, number one, show, hey, it's not me that's making these prices so high, and number two, to piss off the government.
Yeah,
I would do it. Maybe we start a sticky note campaign where we do it ourselves. Because I actually have a sticky note campaign we're doing, and I'm not doing it. Someone else is doing it in New Hampshire. But, you know, showing people, hey, guess what? This is what you're paying in federal taxes, and this is what you're paying in state. So don't get pissed off at the gas station owner or the oil companies, because the oil companies make a lot less than the government on this. I can't remember the breakdown of Phoenix.
Percent or something, which a lot of other industries make a lot more than that. The profit margin I've seen on average is about 14%, but the oil companies make around 6%. So
I remember that idea of a sticky note campaign.
But, you know, because they bring in so much money because of the volume that they sell, then people think, oh, you know, rich oil company, you know, they stock it to them. Well, who do you think's going to be, who's going to get the stock? Who's going to get their ass kicked by the price? It's going to be you, you dumb consumer, putting the gas in your tank.
They don't ever realize that. They don't understand the concept. Now, Democrats, some Democrats do, the ones that are really trying to screw people do, but their dumb minions don't. They don't get that. If you raise the prices or you raise the minimum wage or you force people to pay for certain things, those prices are going to get raised, but they're going to be turned around and they're going to be charged to you.
Right. Ultimately, the end user is going to pay the most, and that's the consumer, and that's the average Joe Blow on the street who's doing all the bitching in the first place. So it's amazing. People have no education about economics, how money works, how taxes work, and that's why we're all so easily screwed by these people. It's ignorance.
And that's why
ignorance is just is what we're really fighting. You know, for all of the crooked politicians and all that. We're fighting them too. But ignorance is the biggest enemy we have, because knowledge is power.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, they don't teach business 101 or economics 101 in high school. I mean, they could teach it at a level that all kids could understand, as opposed to, teaching it at a college level. You don't have to be you shouldn't have to be college educated to understand business and economics, because you can teach it. I've taught people basic, little kids even. You can teach them about economics, and you just teach
right.
it in a way that's understandable, and you can give great examples, but they don't want to do that because they don't want people to know they're getting screwed.
Right. You could teach a kid about taxes just with his allowance. You know, okay, I'm giving you $10 a week. You have to give me $2 back for the upkeep of the house, you know, and then you have to put $2 away in savings, and you get to spend the rest on what you want. And if you do that from a young age, they'll understand.
Not only that, but you can teach kids about socialism that way, too. Have both kids clean their room, right? One of them doesn't
right.
want to clean their room, so they don't get a treat. But, oh, you know what? The one who cleaned his room, we're gonna take some of his candy that he earned, and we're going to give it to you anyway, even though you didn't do anything to earn it, because, you know, socialism.
Exactly.
I'm like pissing off a little kid.
Well, I had a nephew. My nephew was about, 10 or 12. He used to get an allowance, and then one day he just decided, you know, I'm tired of doing these chores, but I still want that allowance. And my brother said, yeah, I ain't going to pay you just for doing nothing. If you want this money, you got to work for it. That's the way life is.
Okay.
He figured it out real quick.
Is someone on the phone? Is someone on the call?
I'm holding.
Who's
there? You're there. Hello.
Hey, ladies. It's George from Facebook.
Hey,
George.
How you doing?
I'm doing just great. I didn't know if I was on hold or on queue or anyway. First of all, I just want to thank both of you guys for all the laughs you provided me over the past couple of years reading your posts. And I did want to call in when I saw you having the show tonight. And I would pose a question to you, and then I'll go back and listen. And that's, you know, what, the past couple of years, the moon bats have been coming at the Second Amendment pretty hard. And you guys both write about that, especially you, Kimberly. And what's been interesting is the pushback that's happened around the country, not just organized from the NRA, but from everyday people. And I'm thinking about in Colorado, where a couple of people got thrown out of office over it. And even Mr. Cuomo in New York is getting a pretty good backlash from what he did. So I guess my question is, are you at all heartened by how a lot of gun ownership laws have, in fact, been strengthened, not diminished, because of the backlash? And I'll sit back and listen to what you guys have to say. And have a good night.
Thank you. That's a great question, and I have to say with a resounding yes.
Yes.
I know in New Hampshire we fought some gun control bills that came up, and we won. And let me tell you, Second Amendment activists, they don't stand down. They're going to keep pushing, and they come out of the woodwork. Whenever somebody potentially believes that their right, their Second Amendment right, is going to be trampled upon, that's it. They're out there fighting full force. And,
absolutely.
The thing is, we're not just getting, you know, Second Amendment activists who do this all the time. We're getting regular people who all of a sudden are, you know, seeing these laws, and they're saying, well, wait a minute. I want to be able to own a gun and not have to be considered a felon for owning a gun. I want to be able to
right.
protect myself. That's probably one reason why more and more women have become gun owners.
Down here in Georgia, we just passed a law, went into effect July 1st, I believe. It's basically called the Guns Everywhere Bill. And it has a few restrictions. You know, if you're a business owner and you don't want people carrying guns into your place, or a church who doesn't want guns during the service, you have the right to refuse. But otherwise, if you have a legal right, a permit to carry, you can take your gun anywhere. And
right.
it was so funny to hear the liberals talking as this bill was about to go into effect. They thought that there was going to be mayhem, there was going to be shootings, July 1st was going to come, and these gun owners were just going to whack out and take everybody out. I mean, it was just so nonsensical, and we haven't had any of that. As a matter of fact, we had a woman here in the Atlanta area, there's something called the Silver Comet Trail. It used to be an old railroad line, and now it's like a walking, biking trail. And we had a woman that was attacked on it a couple weeks ago. She was beaten beyond recognition. The guy broke every bone in her face, and her husband didn't even recognize her. She was not armed, and that incident has basically woken a lot of women up that they need to be armed.
Yep.
And so I'm interested to hear. Well, tell that woman why she shouldn't be allowed to protect herself. Tell that woman that, maybe if you just piss yourself or puke on yourself, the guy will run away. I mean, really? Seriously?
Yeah. A gun is an equalizer for a woman. Let's face it, men are stronger. Oftentimes, men who are attacking are bigger, and they might be hepped up on drugs or something. So, you can learn self-defense, physical self-defense, using your hands and arms, but to have that equalizer to keep between yourself and that person, that attacker, I'd rather bank on that, because I know that I have 10 bullets in my gun, and I'll shoot every single one of them, and I'm going to hit you. I'm going to stop you. And often it stops them before they even attack, because they see it and they say, oh, crap, and they take off.
Exactly.
Now, do we have someone on the line?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, sorry.
Hey, Kimberly. Hey, Christy. This is Joe Dunn. How are you?
Hey, Joe. How you calling?
Good. I was on the line earlier. I wasn't a stalker. It's just you couldn't hear me for some reason. My iPhone was acting up, so I had to call back.
No.
But no, I think I've got Sharon Chabot from the New Hampshire Politics hashtag. I think she may be tuning in tonight, because I tweeted to her. I encouraged her to tune in to Women with Brains. So maybe she'll do that. I think Kimberly knows who she is. Christy, I'm not sure if you're as familiar. What's that?
Well, in New Hampshire.
Say that. Yes. She definitely crossed. I mean, she claims to be a New Hampshire native, but she definitely crossed the border from Massachusetts. Or she came up from New York. I mean, there's no way this woman is from New Hampshire. Or something's really happened to New Hampshire in the last few years.
I think she spent too much time in New Hampshire. I think she worked in Massachusetts. I think she worked in Massachusetts for a lot of years.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. I mean, there has to be a Massachusetts connection somewhere. We do know that. All you have to do is read her Twitter feed. I'm probably this close to having, I mean, 2 years ago when Scott Brown ran for Senate, Progress Mass devoted an entire part of its website to my tweets. So I think Progress New Hampshire, or whatever the Soros-funded group that's working against him up there now, is probably this close to doing it. I think I may have cinched it tonight by tweeting at her to tune into your show, because now she's tweeting to Senator Brown. What does he mean by, if I turn into this show, maybe I'll become a normal American? She doesn't know. So maybe, but hey, it's putting your show on the map. I'm getting another Progress, whatever website dedication, So it's all working out well. You guys are doing a great job. I have to commend you. Have you guys been at this for a while, or is this new?
This is our second week.
Wow, that's great. No, that's great. Good for you. I'm so happy to hear it. I actually got it from one of my Twitter followers who I follow back. I saw him tweeting out the link earlier tonight, and I decided to tune in. And it's so much more fun than watching Rachel Maddow with or without the sound. And it beats the usual Fox News stuff. So no, you guys are doing a great job. Christy, I could ask, where are you from? Are you New England, or?
Well, originally I'm from Connecticut.
Oh, wow,
but,
okay.
Yeah, but I've been living in the Atlanta area for several years now.
Good for
down
you.
Down here in a red state.
Wow.
I take it so for granted, you know, when I talk to all my Northeastern friends, and I'm like, really? Wow, I can't believe you guys still live up there.
Oh, you don't know how lucky you are. I'm telling you, to live in a normal part of America, we don't know what that's like here. I mean, here in New England, you used to have somewhat normal states, and New Hampshire's kind of on the brink, but I think all we have left is New Hampshire. I really do, and it's, you know, it's kind of teetering on the fence.
Live free or die, baby. You know, make them live up to that motto.
We're going to find out in November. We really are. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in New Hampshire. But we used to have all the states in New England, and then they all went away.
The what?
I said we used to have normal states in New England. I mean, I'm in Maine tonight, where I have a vacation place, and you know, Maine used to be a Republican state. I mean, and then, you know, the blue states took over. All the population shifted, and you know, I don't know, maybe it's something in the water. I have no idea, but we just have no, you know, we have a very hard time because, you know, it's hard to communicate a message that resonates with normal Americans when you have to do it in New England. Maybe Kimberly agrees, maybe she disagrees with that, but it just seems like, you know, it's like fighting against the tide. It really is.
Well, Maine's a huge welfare state, too.
I think
it's one of the biggest, so that's a problem.
Right.
But you have Governor LePage in Maine now, who's a Republican, who I love.
Right. Me too. I'm doing everything I can on social media to help him, and I'll be giving him a little bit of money. I mean, I'm originally from Massachusetts, and I live in Massachusetts, so I vote in Massachusetts, but I do spend a lot of time in Maine, and he is the best thing that has happened to Maine in a long time. So I hope we can get him over the finish line in November. Fortunately, the Republican Governors Association, for once, seems to be making a smart move. They seem to be ready to invest a lot of money up here. So hopefully they will follow through on that. You know, say what you want about Chris Christie. Maybe he finally made a great decision. I don't know. We'll see. But he was up here yesterday with Governor LePage, and they were hosting a fundraiser for him. And I'm hearing maybe $1 million or $2 million spent on the – and that's a lot of money in Maine. I mean, media in Maine is not particularly expensive. So to drop $1 million or $2 million on the governor's race here is probably like dropping $10 million in Massachusetts or $20 million in Massachusetts. So hopefully they will. But Christy, what's going on down in Atlanta? I mean, you guys have a governor's race down there too, correct, in Georgia?
Yes. Oh, yes. Jason Carter, Jimmy Carter's grandson, Jason, is running for governor against the incumbent Republican governor, Nathan Deal, who's got some ethics issues following him. But you know what? I'll take a crooked deal over a stupid Carter any day of the week, you know. But you know, Jason Carter won't even campaign with Jimmy Carter. That's how toxic Jimmy Carter is, even down here in Georgia. I mean, the Carters down here are not like the Kennedys in Massachusetts. You know, people know that Jimmy Carter was a bad president even down here. But it's so interesting to see the way the candidates campaign down here, because they're all fighting over who's the most conservative. Even Michelle Nunn, Sam Nunn's daughter, is running for senator on the Democrat side. She won't even say she's a Democrat. She won't put any Obama in her commercials. She even has a commercial with George Bush the First in it, with his Points of Light Foundation or whatever. So, you know, while up there everybody runs away from the down here, they're all fighting over who's the most conservative.
By saying they're not like the Kennedys down in, you know, they're not the Kennedys of Georgia, does that mean they couldn't drown a woman and get away with it? I presume you mean that too, right? It's not just the politics. They couldn't actually kill someone swim to shore, save themselves, and then have a 40-year career afterward, correct?
Right. I don't think that they're smart enough to get away with it. Actually.
I mean, they couldn't go to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and literally lay out the front page after it happened, right? You know, that couldn't happen.
You know, the AJC is pretty liberal, so they might provide cover for him.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, that's true. Is Cynthia
Tucker
still
there? Would they actually get a freaking $25 million library named after them?
Well, there is the Carter Center down here.
Oh, God. Christy, is Cynthia Tucker still with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution?
Well, I don't read that paper myself.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't blame you.
But I think that she has gotten another job somewhere.
Okay.
I don't think she's with the paper anymore.
Must be with MSNBC.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
reading
a weekend
her,
shift.
I think she's actually working for some think tank or something like that. But reading her columns were, you know, that was painful.
Right.
I mean, if I really wanted to engage in self-torture, I would read a Cynthia Tucker column. It was bad.
Right, yeah. I remember a few of those being reprinted, I think, in the Boston Globe, and I think I subjected myself to one or two of them before. And that kind of probably reminds me of why I didn't really follow her much after that, because they're painful. But no, I mean, Kimberly, you're all over Twitter. Christy, I know you are too, but Kimberly, I see you because, of course, I'm following New Hampshire politics because, you know, I do want to see Scott Brown win that seat and defeat Gene Shaheen. What are you into? I know you're a New Hampshireite. What races are really driving you this election season? I'm really curious to know.
To be honest with you, the local, I'm focused more on local races than any national races because, you know, I used to focus on more national, as you probably know. But I focus on local now because it's my belief that you can't change things at the national level until you change them at the local. So if we change them at the local level, that'll push it up to the national level, and we'll get more liberty and conservative candidates. So
right.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so that's been my fight. I'm completely immersed in local New Hampshire politics.
Great. No, that's great. So are you in District 1 or 2?
I'm in Che Porter's District 1.
Oh, okay. Okay. So is,
to be honest,
that is the district. Go ahead.
Well,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, is that the district Frank Ginta is running in?
Yes, Frank Ginta.
Okay,
Okay.
So there is more than one Republican running, so there is a primary there?
Yeah. There's
okay.
Frank Ginta. Well, I think there's actually a few, but the only ones that you ever hear about are Ginta and Innes.
Okay. Great. Go ahead. Yep.
I'm actually not impressed with any of our national candidates. That's another reason I'm probably not really interested in it. Although I personally know Gary Lambert and Mary Linda Garcia, and I actually met Jim Lawrence the other day, who are running in New Hampshire District 2. I really like Mary Linda. She has way better votes than Gary. I'm just not impressed with any of our national candidates. The Senate race, not impressed with. I'm, you know, don't freak out, Joe, but I'm totally against Scott Brown. So
you were cutting out. I'm sorry, and I'm not even saying that as a joke. It totally cut out. Can you say that one more time?
I'm totally against Scott Brown. I know
okay,
it's a big
no,
difference
I mean,
in 2010,
fine.
But yeah.
No, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's not, you know, things don't hinge on one candidate. I mean, you know, we can disagree on that one. That's okay. You guys are still great. I still love you. You know I do. And I still appreciate everything you did on social media 4 years ago and 2 years ago you were great. You really were.
The Brown campaign was the first campaign I ever volunteered for.
Say that one more time.
The Brown campaign was the first campaign I ever volunteered for, and you know how much we all worked for that.
Right. No, I do. I do. I remember being in the WBC radio studios in Boston with Dan Ray, high-fiving him when it was announced about 8:30 when we were looking at the result. And I didn't work with him. I was just a friend of his, and I was in there because I knew it was going to be a big night, and I kind of sensed he was going to win. And we're looking at all the results coming in and all the towns, particularly north and west of Boston, you know, around the 495 belt, and they were like, including the one I now live in, I mean, it was like 2 or 3 to 1. It was just an amazing election that, you know, we will probably never see repeated in Massachusetts ever again in my lifetime. So I will never forget that night. Obviously, 2012 did not work out. We'll see what 2014 is going to do. I'm hopeful. I don't know what that means. And I've had people say to me, are you high? Are you drunk? And it's like, no, you know, we'll see what happens. It's August. Let's see what transpires between now and when people start really paying attention after Labor Day. So, you know,
our primary is September 8th. So, we'll know sooner rather than later. I mean, I didn't realize, I always thought, well, before I got involved in local politics, I thought it would be nicer and not as, quote, political or corrupt as Massachusetts, and I was so wrong.
Yes.
This is bad.
You know, corrupt in Massachusetts do go well together. I mean, we have a speaker, we have a House speaker, who, while he's not been convicted of anything, we've gone from 3 House speakers in Massachusetts who've been convicted felons to we've moved up a notch, Kimberly. We've now got an unindicted so we've moved up the food chain. You know, he's not as bad as the previous 3. That's Massachusetts politics, which I know all too well.
I think Massachusetts is trying to beat out Chicago. Boston is trying to beat out Chicago for corrupt politics.
Right, or New York City, you're right.
It really
is a shame. And I have not been to New York since Bill de Blasio became king. I know we have buyer's remorse about Obama. I know a lot of Americans do have that, but I think a lot of New Yorkers have buyer's remorse about him.
They deserve it.
Right. We all have to learn the hard way sometimes.
They put that bastard in there, and they can live with that.
You bet. Hey, we all have to learn the hard way sometimes, and they are going to learn. Are going to learn. But listen, ladies, I will continue to listen. I'll call in the future. Are you guys every Wednesday, or does it vary?
Every Wednesday from 9 to 11.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I will become a regular listener, and I'll also call in from time to time. And thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you both on Twitter.
Great.
Awesome.
Thanks,
Joe. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Joe's great. Bye-bye. I've known Joe for a while. Just from politics on Twitter.
Excellent. See, I like when people call in.
I know, because you might talk about a different topic, or you know, it's interesting. I like it too.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to call in, feel free to call in.
It would be nice if we gave them the number, huh? I have to find it.
What is it?
It's 347-205-9620. And you know what? I would love sometime to get someone who disagrees with us.
Wouldn't
you know what I mean?
Fun? Yeah, I'd love that.
I think that would be fun.
I'd love to get someone who disagrees with us and wants to get nasty about it so we could shred him.
Those people are probably too afraid. Oh my god. But before that, we were talking about the Second Amendment, and we had talked about that judge already, but let's talk about your favorite person Amanda Marcotte.
Oh, yeah. Because we were talking about how women are now arming themselves, especially down here, because we've had some attacks. And now we have this story in Missouri where all that mess is happening, that people are starting to arm themselves because they feel unsafe.
Yeah.
And you can't blame them.
A woman was actually shot dead, drive-by, just shot dead, just for the hell of it. And because of this whole, these riots that are going on, and Amanda Marcotte, left-wing lunatic, who clearly hates women and doesn't want us to arm ourselves and protect ourselves, thinks we're shameful because an unarmed man leads to profits for the gun industry. It's not about profits to the gun industry, you willfully ignorant douche. It's about women protecting ourselves against the nutbags that are rioting for no reason.
Exactly.
Did you hear my dog bark at the end of that?
I'm glad he agrees with you.
It's unbelievable that anyone would say to a woman, no, sorry, you shouldn't arm yourself and protect yourself, especially when things like that are going on. But to have a woman say it, of all people, no, I'm sorry, like you said earlier, just piss on yourself.
Or maybe she should just use a ballpoint pen, because that's part of the liberal defense kit. It includes an adult diaper, a barf bag, and a ballpoint pen.
Oh, my God. It sounds like an elderly person taking a long flight.
That's right.
You know, they can do the kudozu, whatever the number thing is, or the cross.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just the first sentence that came into my head.
You should totally read that out. The liberal defense.
Yeah. We need a meme. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Is it meme or mame?
Either one.
Okay, because I always thought it was mame, and then someone said it was meme, and I'm like, whatever it is, M-E-M-E. There you go. I'll just call it Mimi.
Yeah, like Grandma Mimi, who's got her defense kit for her long flight.
Right. But that's the thing. And it's not just her. I mean, it's women over and over and over again that really believe that women can't and or shouldn't arm themselves and protect themselves when it's a proven fact that we save our lives that way or we stop an attack.
Exactly. Well, if you ask somebody who thinks that if you're arming people, I'm assuming, these are not mentally ill people. They're just average, decent citizens. Putting a gun in someone's hand is not going to just make them go ballistic and shoot up a public place. You can ask somebody who would believe that. You know, if I put a gun in your hand, would you do that yourself?
Exactly.
It's nonsensical.
And I think that's one of the reason so many on the left are like this whack job judge who are afraid of AR-15s. First of all, you can use an AR-15 for self-defense in your home. A woman recently, I can't remember if it was, I think it was Detroit. Two guys were breaking in her house. They had a gun, and she used an AR-15 that scared those asses right back out that door.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't attack her. They didn't attack her house because she protected herself, and she used an AR-15.
Well, maybe she should have taken Joe Biden's advice and used a shotgun and shot it at the door.
Yeah, she could have done that, and she probably definitely would have killed them, one of them.
Yeah.
The thing with shotguns is, with a shotgun, the bullets spray. With an AR-15, you're aiming. So, God forbid you're in close proximity to your family or something. You know, to me personally, I'd rather have an AR-15 than worry about spraying anyone else that's innocent. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's my brain vice president. Oh. Our vice president.
Door and blow a hole in your front door. Yeah, that's going to work.
Yeah, well, you know, that way you can employ people when you have to get it fixed.
Well, who say these ridiculous things about firearms and don't want women to protect ourselves. I mean, most of these people are people that don't want anyone having firearms.
Right.
They just don't think they realize, maybe they just don't think women can handle firearms or be trusted to use them properly. I don't know. I can't understand that thinking.
No.
You know what I mean? Most of us on here who are listening to this, they can't either, because most women I know take safety training classes. They want to understand and they want to learn how to shoot the gun safely and accurately. They don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to do anything dumb. They actually learn and they pay attention in classes, and they're actually really good shots. So,
right.
You know, there's no reason. I mean, I would love for every woman to be armed, because as long, you know, obviously safely, so she can safely and accurately shoot, not just, you know, give
right.
someone a gun and not teach them how to use it. But I think it's a great way to protect yourself, and there'd be a hell of a lot less attacks, murders, and rapes if more of them were. And that's a fact.
Oh, absolutely.
That's like that
absolutely.
Woman. Did you hear about that woman? She's a young woman. She's only in her early 20s on Dartmouth College campus in New Hampshire.
Yes. She has a stalker. Is that the one who has
horrible.
A stalker?
Yes, the horrible, horrible stalker who... She got the stupid piece of paper restraining order that did nothing, and she came to college here, and then she went back home, and he was at her doorstep.
Right.
Now, granted, the guy's in jail now, but you know how, especially California, you know how their prison system is. The guy could be out in 2 weeks. And
right.
Dartmouth College won't let her concealed carry.
Yeah, she's considering leaving the school.
Yeah, and this guy, when they caught him at her doorstep the last time, he had a rope, a knife, and some other stuff in his vehicle. So clearly, this man, who is obviously psychotic, has bad intentions when it comes to this poor young woman. They're saying to her, no, sorry, you can't protect yourself. We just have to let security take it.
Yeah.
We'll just have to look security. You know, yeah, really? I'm sorry. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop.
Right. Hey, there's a good slogan.
I mean,
I like that.
Seriously. You know, if there's until you can put a cop at my door 24/7 or follow me around 24/7 with, you know, private security, I'm going to carry a gun.
Right.
And this
I mean,
poor
also,
girl, in her case, she really, I mean, she's truly fearful for her life.
Right.
So
well, she
that, I know she's fighting it.
Yeah, and she should. I mean, but if it was my decision, I'd have to leave the school because I have to be able to protect myself.
Somebody else said the same thing. I might just illegally conceal carry. No one's going to know until
yeah,
she has to use it
go.
And protect herself.
Yeah. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? She gets kicked out of school?
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, if I was her and I really wanted to get my education there, and obviously she's probably already invested a lot of money because it's not a cheap school, I would just concealed carry and just not tell anybody I'm doing it. Because that's
yeah.
what concealed carry is. No one's going to see her gun. It's not like she's going to freak out all the little feminine D-bags. No one's going to see it. And
yeah.
the only time she's going to use it is if she has to against this freak show that's been stalking her for years, since she's been, I think, in high school. It is. It's very scary. And
I mean, that
you
completely
know,
takes
think,
away your whole peace of mind.
Yeah, and I think what's even scarier is the fact that these people want to make her be a victim as opposed to a survivor.
Yeah, because it also goes to the whole control issue, too. You know, I mean,
yep.
And there are people in power who are that sick. You know, they'd rather make you a victim as a form of their control. So you're a victim twice. You're a victim of the system and a victim of your perpetrator.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And there's no reason for it. And again, it's not that this poor young girl wants to just randomly get a gun and, yee-haw, I have a gun. She wants to safely learn how to shoot, unless she probably already has taken lessons where she, in California, I think she has a gun. But she's going to safely use it. She's not going to do anything with it other than protect herself. Literally, this girl doesn't want to just go out and shoot targets. She needs this to protect herself because her life is actually at stake.
Right.
And they're denying her that.
The American people need to start telling these legislators, look, we're going to carry a gun, and that there is no debate about it. And we're not going to ask your permission. We're just going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, in states all over, in the past, I think New York and Connecticut screwed themselves the worst. But in states all over the country, and I'm telling you right now, this is a top-down legislative activity. States all over the country, I don't know, you know, mostly ones with Democrat-controlled legislators, they tried passing gun control, some type of gun control, whatever they could get.
Right.
Because it's top-down. You know what I mean? Okay, Obama knows he can't pass any federal gun control because it'll never happen. So let's hear. Here you go. Here's legislation from Progressive State Network, which is the left-wing version of ALEC. Here's the legislation we want you to pass for gun control. We have to try to take more gun rights away. And, you know, of course, in New York and Connecticut, it worked because they're top-heavy with far left-wing liberals. But in other states, like in New Hampshire, and I'm sure other states, look at Colorado, they got rid of people. I mean, in other states, it didn't work.
Well, that's why I love the red states.
Yeah, right?
Mm,
you know, everybody
states.
Keeps saying, look, you should move to a red state, see what it's really like. And I'm like, oh.
He'd be tempted not to come back.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
Red states are in warm areas, though.
Well, we need to spread the redness around. That's what we need to do.
Well, you know what? New Hampshire was a red state up until, I want to say, 2000?
Yeah.
For a lot of years it was. And then, but the problem is we even have jackass Republicans who vote with Democrats. And we're trying to get rid of them. We're trying to get rid of them, but some of them don't even have freaking primaries. It's like, hello? We don't have somebody who's a liberty-type real conservative?
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Everybody who is a liberty conservative is painted as a nut job Tea Partier, you know, not taken seriously. And the people that vote don't pay attention enough to do the research for themselves, so they just believe what they're fed. And here we are, in the mess. And Lamar Alexander just got reelected. Now all of a sudden he's for amnesty because he knows he's safe. So.
Oh, my God, for 6 more years.
Yeah. So thanks,
that's
Tennessee.
Great. Thanks, buddy.
I love Tennessee. It's such a fun and beautiful state. But I don't know what those people are thinking. And the same thing with Mitch McConnell, John Boehner. I mean, come on, people. Give me a break.
I think a lot of that has to do with money, because let's face it, these guys have way more money, and that goes across the country, and it goes even in local and state. I mean, I don't know how your local politics might be better because you are a red state, but you even at the local level, we have establishment candidates who happen to have a ton of money because they they've run unopposed for so many years. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's the same kind of thing. So, you know, they run opposed for all these years, but yet their war cabinet stash, whatever, fills up. So now, oh, my gosh, they have a primary from an actual good candidate who cares about the people, and they can finally use that money.
Right.
Which, of course, screws us.
Well, you know, Louis Gohmert has a PAC that he's trying to fund good conservative candidates as a way to combat this whole money problem. And because it seems like the funding is a huge issue in this whole thing, and nobody can gain any traction because they can't get any funding.
Right.
So,
and that's what, you know, I know actually another PAC that just started as well that's specifically for Liberty candidates. We need more of those.
Exactly. And the thing about it is people have to understand that if the money is not going to come from the GOP establishment, then it has to come from the grassroots because it's got to come from somewhere. It sucks that it takes so much money to have to run for office, but it does. And if they're not going to fund our candidates, we have to do it ourselves. And so screw buying the freaking Big Mac or whatever. You don't have to throw in a lot of money. If everybody would just put in $5 or $10, that could go a long way.
No, exactly. And that you're exactly right. That's exactly what we have to do, because these guys have huge war chests, whereas the other candidates don't. And talking to somebody recently about that, and they're like, you know what, the Liberty people just aren't giving me any money. What am I going to do? And a lot of the Liberty candidates, that's a problem they have. They, you know, everybody's like, yes, you should run, but then there's no money to back them up.
Exactly.
And that's a problem.
You know,
that's a big problem.
I mean, if your liberty is worth something to you, then it should be worth a few bucks. You know, everybody talks about, people like to be armchair strategists, and, you know, they like to complain from the comfort of their living room, but then when it comes to putting forth a little bit of treasure towards a candidate that's worth something or a PAC that's worth something, then they don't want to do it. Well, I can't afford that, you know. Yeah. Well, is it worth something to you? I mean,
right.
Things that are worth having,
you know,
usually require a lot of work and some money.
I was going to say, at least if you can't afford to pay any money, at least boots on the ground or do something that's going to help the candidate, you know, because that's
exactly.
Priceless.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can't afford to pay any money, and that's understandable, a lot of people can't, get out there and you know, help stuff envelopes for mailers, help go door-to-door and drop off flyers, help do social media, help make phone calls. You know, there's other ways you can help if you can't afford to pay the cash, and that's priceless. You know, that's important as well.
Right, because the entitlement mentality is not just subject to, you know, the parasite society. It also infects a lot of conservatives. You know, you're not just entitled to a good candidate. You get the candidate that you deserve because you get the candidate that you work for,
right.
That you pay for. You know, if you're going to put the time and the money into it, that's the candidate you're going to get. If you don't put any time or money into it, you're going to get the candidate that the Republican Party decides you're going to get.
Right, exactly. And you know what? And the sad part is, even if you work your butt off, and a lot of people do, sometimes it still happens. Like with who was that guy that the Republicans actually lied and said he was a racist to try to get Democrats to vote in the primary?
Oh, Cochran or McDaniel?
Yes.
I think
Cochran and McDaniels, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a prime example of what can happen. Like, McDaniel should have won that, and he would have. And they knew he would have, and that's why they did, you know, disgusting tactics on him.
Yeah, because, the Republican establishment would rather have some old drooling idiot who's an animal molester than to have a true constitutional conservative in there.
Wait, is he really an animal molester?
He admitted to doing things with animals when he was younger.
Are you kidding me?
No, I thought you heard about that. No, I'm totally serious. The guy is an animal molester, and He got lost going to lunch a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
The guy's like senile. He's got Alzheimer's. He's an animal molester. He got lost going to lunch. And he didn't even know about Eric Cantor's loss until like 5 days after it had happened.
Am I not completely
out of touch? No, you are. No, please laugh. Because, I mean, that's the pathetic state of the Republican Party. This is the Republican Party, folks.
Oh, my God. No, I had no idea he did that. I mean, I knew the guy was whatever, but oh, my God. Somebody just posted it. Two people just posted it. I have to look at it now. Are you kidding me? How old is this guy, 95?
Yeah. He's been in Congress for, like, what, 50 years at least?
Oh, come on. We need term limits already. Indecent things with animals as a child. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And
so what is
people,
that?
The establishment Republicans pushed this old, perverted, I'm trying to watch my language here. I am really trying to hold my language back. Over McDaniels?
Yeah. That's how threatened they are by the conservative movement. And that should actually embolden the conservative movement. I mean, if they're that threatened by conservatives that they're willing to push an embarrassment like that, I mean, that should send a huge message to the conservative movement, how much power we actually do have if we knew how to channel it properly.
Yeah, I mean, there's first of all, the guy should have retired. He shouldn't have even rerun again. And I'm dumbfounded. Somebody's putting it in now. Cochran's latest senior moment, Lug gets lost in Capitol. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean
it's funny, but it's
ridiculous. That's like Hank Johnson is still in freaking running. Is he running again, Hank Johnson? Because I know he ran last time. He's in the House anyway, but come on.
Yeah,
Guam's going to freaking tip.
Yeah, I think he was unopposed in his primary, actually. But that was Cynthia McKinney's old district, so those people are crazy.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Some people are just, like, I know Hank Johnson had Hep C or something, and so he had probably a legitimate excuse for his ridiculousness, you know. So, I mean, I feel kind of bad, but he shouldn't be in office, okay?
Exactly.
But then you have complete morons like Sheila Jackson Lee.
Yeah.
Who actually has a law degree.
Oh, that's, I'm speechless by that.
I'm not kidding. She has a freaking law degree.
Like my grandmother
used to say.
She has
a law degree. And she thought the country was, what, 400 years old?
Yeah. She doesn't seem smart enough to pound sand into a rat hole. That's what my grandmother used to say.
we should have a once a week or something, how dumb is, and just throw things out there, because there are so many. And it's on the right and the left, but it seems to be majority on the left.
We should have the Smooth Brain of the Week award.
I love that.
Yes.
I love them.
Oh, and, you know, we also have to tap into Hillary Clinton's Ready for Hillary page and choose a Flying Monkey of the Week.
Oh, my God, yes, we do. We have
to do that, too.
Aren't they all flying monkeys? Oh, my God, there's Ready for Hillary. There's a whole crap load of them. New Hampshire Ready for Hillary? Are you people high? Oh, my God. There's a ton of them out there now. Oh, my God. Okay, so now, because you mentioned it, I had to go on it. Glamour magazine, Hillary Clinton on it. Of course, you know, she's been airbrushed to hell. Glamour magazine has a picture of Hillary, and it says power under it.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Hillary Rodham Clinton on Women and Success. That's the title.
Did you see the one where she was wearing her muumuu on the beach?
I didn't. Now we know why she wears pantsuits, because she has cankles.
Oh, she's got sad cankles.
I'm just dumbfounded by the whole Hillary thing, considering, actually, I was guest co-hosting a radio show on Monday, and somebody brought up Hillary, and I'm like, she enabled her serial sexual assaulter husband to victimize women over and over again, and then she victimized them. Talk about a war on women.
Right.
But I mean, Hillary is a big perpetrator of the war on women.
Yeah. But, you know, when you bring that up, you know, it's Juanita Broderick who's the bitch and all this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Monica Lewinsky was, 20 years old, and she had control, you know, the president, the most powerful man in the world, was giving her attention and willing to smoke a cigar. She's going to say no?
Right.
Come on. Of course, one other woman did. Oh, God, what's her name? I forget her name. She ran out of his office after she was attacked. That was the Oval Office. So, you know.
Yeah.
I have to look up her name. I think it was Catherine something. Very well-respected woman. And, you know, of course.
Catherine Willey?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Mm.
There's so many of them, I can't remember all the names.
Yes, there's a lot.
You know what the sick part is? Is when you talk to Hillary supporters about this or say something about this, they don't have any idea of any of it.
Oh, naturally, because it's easier to be oblivious and uninformed.
Like, I guess I can understand. Well, I was going to say, I guess I can understand because the media doesn't talk about it, right?
Right.
Television media doesn't talk about it. Paper media doesn't talk about it. You can search for it online if you want, but if you're one of those people that only looks on HuffPo or TMSNBC, you're not going to find any of that.
Right. Well, you know, one story we came across this evening before the show was what Abortion Barbie is doing to Greg Abbott in Texas.
God, that woman is a heinous wildebeest. Don't tell me she didn't approve of that.
Well, she's desperate because her numbers are in the tank, and they're just throwing all the shit at the wall to see what sticks.
Exactly. Wait, can we say that on TV, on this radio?
Too late.
Because I would have said it earlier, damn it. you're right. It's because, you know, she thought she was going to be this big abortion hero and hero to women. And then when her story unraveled and it came out that what a scumbag piece of crap she is, left her kids, you know, screwed around on her husband who was paying for everything, then left him after he finished paying for it. I mean, she's just a scumbag of all scumbags. And so that killed her. When that happened, when the truth all came out, that just totally, I think it all went downhill from there, and I don't think she ever recovered from that.
Yeah, and so now what's happening is that Planned Parenthood is portraying Greg Abbott as a rapist.
Do you have the picture you can post in the Oh, thank you. Somebody posted it already.
Yes, and at the same time, they've been covering up a child rape. They didn't report a child rapist in Arizona. Planned
they
Parenthood.
Never. Honestly, Christy, there's countless. If you go to, is it Lila Rose, Live Action, they have all kinds of documentation of other rapes and poor young girls being victimized that were never reported and should have been across the country. It's not just one state. It's all over the place.
Well, you know, there was a story that came out a couple weeks ago that said that Planned Parenthood gets about $300 for every abortion. So when they're pushing these campaigns to teach kids about kinky sex, it's because they want kids having sex, because they want girls getting pregnant, because they want to, you know, they want this abortion mill. It brings in money. That's the goal.
No, yeah, exactly. I was reading that, too. Was it last week? Yeah, I was reading up on that, too, that's where they make, that's where all their profits are. I mean, they're not, even though they get, last year they got $500 billion from the federal government, i.e., the taxpayers.
Right.
And that's on top of all the money they rake in from abortions.
And this is why, I mean, honest people who are objective about it, regardless of where you stand on the abortion issue, we should all be able to agree that our tax money should not be going to fund abortion.
Right. I agree, and I agree with you on that. And also, our tax money should not be going to an organization that, number one, doesn't need it, and number two, victimizes young girls who are already victims.
Absolutely.
Because that's been going on for years. I never knew how bad Planned Parenthood was until, I don't know, 4 years ago when I started doing research into them. And, you know, first of all, they don't need money from the federal government. They make plenty on their own.
Right.
But you started hearing these stories come out. And they're not freaking reported by the mainstream media, of course, because they're a left-wing group that's protected by them. But you hear them in the local media, you know, and you end up finding out stories about women who have died because of botched abortions and that Planned Parenthood didn't want to report it or send them to the hospital or call an ambulance. So women have died under Planned Parenthood. Young girls have been victimized. You know, they come in with their abusers and no one says anything. Like that story last week where the abuser came in with her again. And then, you know, other stories where the girls report, you know, I was with a guy who was like three times her age or twice her age, should have been reported, wasn't. You know, some stuff we have on record because of Lila Rose, and then other stuff we don't. God only knows what the hell we don't have on record.
Exactly, because a lot of the time, if you try and film anything, like I saw somebody get assaulted on camera. She was trying to film somebody who was being taken to an ambulance out of a Planned Parenthood clinic, and one of the employees came out and just beat the hell out of her.
Well, that woman should have been carrying while she was videotaping.
Damn straight.
it's the more people report about them, eventually the mainstream media and other people are going to say, wait a minute, this is enough. Enough is enough. But how long is it going to take? You know, how many problems and issues like this is it going to take?
Exactly. It's going to take public pressure, and that's the only thing that's going to, I mean, and that's the same with any issue. It's going to take public pressure because they'll continue to get away with it as long as they think they can.
Well, and one of the other issues is Democrat legislators and some Republicans make laws that protect Planned Parenthood. You know what I mean? Or not having to notify your parents if a girl is 14 and goes in for an abortion. I'm sorry,
right.
But that's not right. No matter what you think about abortion, you know, your 14-year-old shouldn't be getting one alone.
Exactly. I mean, most girls have to get their parents' permission to get their ears pierced.
Christy, in New Hampshire, the Democrats passed a law when they had control that girls 14 didn't have to alert their parents if they were getting an abortion. But last year they tried to pass a law that teenagers 18 and under had to get permission to go tanning I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not.
That's crazy.
So, that's one of the reasons the bill didn't pass was the very last thing the last Republican said when he was fighting against it was about the abortion issue. And I don't know if I had anything to do with it, but I was tweeting live during it and brought that up. So that's how insane these people are. And that's how much, I mean, Planned Parenthood spends tons of money on elections and stuff too. So, you know, all they care about, like you said, is the money.
Exactly. It's all an industry, just like every other industry. But, you know, here's a story that I wanted to bring up because it's kind of funny. Then these people that like to dress up in these costumes in Times Square take pictures with people. And they get money, I guess. Elmo, Big Bird, whoever else.
I didn't get to read that. Yes, tell me about it because I didn't even get a chance to read it.
Well, they, you know, some of these people have been, like, attacking people, robbing them. So the police have cracked down on them. Now they want to unionize. These people who dress up like Elmo and Cookie Monster and Big Bird and Spider-Man, they want to unionize now. So they're basically glorified panhandlers dressed up in costumes who want to unionize.
So the annoying a-holes in Times Square who just get in the way when you're trying to walk through the overcrowded area already now want to unionize?
Yeah. So that way if they grope you or lift your wallet, they can't get in trouble for it.
Seriously a shame I can't carry in New York City.
It's like a big plushy furry convention.
You know, it doesn't surprise me, and under de Blasio, they'll probably make it happen.
Oh, I wouldn't even be surprised. De Blasio. He's like...
I wonder who gave them that idea.
Oh, you know, they should just have, like, a panhandlers union. And then you won't even have to dress up in a costume.
Or maybe while they're at it, they can do the other funny story that we found about free tampons for all.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's over in the UK, I believe. That they, or somebody from the UK thinks that women should get free tampons.
Because it's healthcare.
Exactly.
I was dumbfounded when I think you posted it. I was dumbfounded when I saw that. I'm like, seriously? Like, that means we should get free toothpaste, toothbrushes, dental floss, toilet paper, shampoo, soap. I mean, and this chick is serious.
Yeah, and the next time I get a pedicure, I want it paid for by the taxpayers because that's good for my feet.
I wrote a whole blog a few weeks ago about that whole thing. Like, there's all these things I need for free, like dark chocolate's good for my health. Red wine is good for my health. Coach bags make me feel good, so I should get those for free, too.
I think I should be able to get Jack Daniels for free because that's good for my mental well-being.
That's right. We need it, especially now.
One of these days, we're going to do the alcohol version of this show.
Oh, my God. That might be scary. But it will. But seriously, the woman is serious. And it's bad enough they want free birth control, but free tampons as well.
Right.
I don't understand. This is people who can't understand normal thinking.
Well, they think everything is free. As long as they don't have to pay for it, it's not their problem. They don't care about anybody but themselves.
And we can't even get Prilosec for free anymore. Like, not free, but covered under our insurance. Because it's an over-the-counter medicine.
Right. So this is the problem we have, is that people put themselves before their country. And it didn't used to be that way. And until we can
They just have no concept of, you know what, things aren't really free in the first place. But the fact, what makes me really sick about this is this, these are women. These are women who think they're feminists. They're feminists, but in reality, they're nothing but the little minions of the left-wing lunacy that want everything for free, want a handout, and want to be dependent on the government to make sure they get these things for free.
Right. So it's just like what I said last week, that they've traded in a husband for Uncle Sam because they want somebody to support them. So it's Uncle Sam's biatch. I'm gonna do that Twitter account.
You have to.
Uncle Sam's biatch.
Uncle Sam's biatch. I love that. Because that's what these people think. I mean, like we talked about last week, what happened to the true feminists who really were fighting for equality and, you know, to be seen as strong, independent women? They've done a complete progression. They might as well just go back into their freaking mother's womb because that's how they're behaving.
That's right. The true feminists are the conservative women who can stand
absolutely
on their own two feet.
Yep, I agree with you. The true feminists are the women who are strong, equal, independent, and can think for themselves.
And love strong men.
Exactly.
Well, you know, this show's flown by pretty fast.
I know.
We've covered a lot of ground.
You know what? And it's all stories that you and I found today.
Yeah, I know. There's just a wealth of information out there.
It's kind of disgusting that...
I know, because you can't keep up with it all.
No, I mean, literally, there's probably 100 more stories out there that are absolutely ridiculous, or 100 more tweets by morons that are completely ridiculous and make women look like simpering idiots.
Right.
And that's one of our points of doing this is to, you know, bring this out because, you know what, guess what? Women are not like that. I want to say the majority of women, but I can't even say that because the majority voted for Obama twice.
Well,
I
have to believe that the majority of women are uninformed because they're busy, you know, they've got a full life. I think of my sister. She's got a full life. She's got two kids. She works full time. She does vote. She votes Republican, you know, or Libertarian. But you know, she doesn't really pay attention. She doesn't pay attention like I do, just because Her day is so full, and I think that's probably like a lot of women. It's not that they're stupid or ignorant or have a liberal agenda. It's just that they don't know because they don't take the time to.
That's my sister, too. She has two kids. She works full-time. Her husband works two jobs. Her kids are involved in a gazillion different activities, and what she does is she just asks me. What's going on?
That's what my sister does.
I have a few friends who do that. Even my stylist does that. It's so funny. But once you explain to women like that who are so insanely busy, and I get that because I've been there, once you explain to them what's going on and everything, they do wake up a little and they do want to know more. And they will ask questions. You know, they might not get involved like we are. They might not become activists, but they ask the questions and they vote right.
Exactly, because ultimately, you know, it's about your kids. It's about what kind of country you're leaving behind for them. Are you going to have to be accountable to them when they come back to you and say, what were you doing? Didn't you think about what kind of country you were going to leave behind?
Yep. You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and Jean Shaheen, who is our senator in New Hampshire, actually did help her out. So she said, she goes, I know how you feel about Shaheen, but she did help me out. And she explained the whole story. And I'm like, you know what? She did help you. And I said, it's not that everything she does is bad. I said, it's just that she's destroying your kid's future. And, you know, what's, you know, yes, she helped you with this one thing, but what's going to happen in your kid's future and what's going to happen in the future?
Right. It's not just about providing for their physical needs. It's about providing for their future, making sure they have a country that they can thrive in.
Right. Exactly. And that's more important.
If you present it to women like that, it gives them a pause to think.
Yep.
So I think we've given everybody some pause to think with the topics we've covered tonight.
You think? Everything from A to Z.
That's right. And you even got to know about Cochran's fetish.
I'm really disturbed by that. Why did he admit that because somebody brought it up, or did he just admit that randomly?
I think it was in conversation, but I don't think it was a direct question. I think he just admitted it within a conversation, and his affinity for farm animals or something.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I'm still dumbfounded by that one, like why that would ever come up after all these years.
Well, it is Mississippi. You're in the deep south down there.
Oh, that's true. There's lots of ghosts.
You don't ever know what's going on in the backwoods.
It gets lonely out there.
That's right. I learned
oh, my God. That's so fun. Well, we have like a minute left. And I want to thank everyone again for who's listening and who showed up in the chat room. Oh, stop it. That woman talks to me with an English accent. And this is, Chrissy, this is awesome. I mean, I think, you know, between the two of us finding all the crazy things we find, I think it's important that we get this stuff out there. I mean, somebody has to fight, and there's a lot of women fighting, and we have to have some of them on soon, too.
Yes, definitely, and we need to grow our ranks. I want a whole army of war by women, by conservative women.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you know what? Women are the ones who a lot of times make elections happen, you know, curb them one way or the other, and we have
right.
to really inform women of what's going on.
Absolutely. Perfect.
So thank you, everyone. We really appreciate it. Love the support. And you guys are all awesome.
Yes, and we'll see you again next week.
Absolutely.
And here we are. We got how many seconds? About 5 seconds?
I don't know. We did it perfect last week. I'm entitled to my time, right?
Right.